Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party. Transformers! On this episode, Daryl is back to tell us about his adventures at TFCon Toronto. XM Studios has some absolutely massive life-size busts of Optimus Prime and Megatron. And retail product listings give us hints of upcoming Transformers Legacy and Studio Series figures. Today is Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. And this is episode 465 of Transmissions. Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that still has 2 days to start our Christmas shopping. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Creator, producer, and star of Empire of Rust, Editor Mike.
I still get 2 days to start something? Yeah.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I tend to take it real easy until the 24th and then get really stressed. That's my yearly tradition. You got to have Christmas traditions, right?
All you got to do is buy gift cards.
Let's talk Transformers.
Sounds like the same tradition we have with getting the surveys ready each year.
Now, I have started. I have begun. I don't know if you have, but I have started, and I've definitely made a good dent in it already.
Well, you're doing better than me. We'll talk about that after the new year.
That's a problem for future transmissions.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had to start the show on a bit of a sad note because we are sad to report that Henry Orenstein, the guy who basically, you know, found the chocolate of Takara and mixed it with the peanut butter of Hasbro to create Transformers, he passed away at the age of 98. So I would say at that age, he probably had a long and really good life. I mean, it was very eventful, you know, from being a Holocaust survivor and, you know, doing lots of other things in the toy industry and, you know, supporting lots of, he did a lot of charitable causes as well. So, yeah. Condolences to his family and, thank you for being the spark that, created the franchise that we have loved for the last 35 years with Transformers, or almost 40 years now.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's going to be some kind of book about his life at some point, because reading through everything that he had done, I'm like, if one person did one of these things, they would be very successful. And he did, you know, well, he's a Holocaust survivor, he did the toy stuff, and he also kind of basically invented the televised poker industry. And it's just it's crazy all that he did. And then the charity stuff.
Yeah, so for someone to have lived so long, I think it's probably not unexpected that he would pass away at this point. So, you know, I think we would all be grateful to make it to the age of 98. So, we wish his family well and celebrate the long life that he had. So. But we're right before Christmas, so this will probably be our final live, like, regular show of the year. We'll have something special for right after Christmas, but this will be our last regular show of the year. And so let's jump right in and talk about some Transformer stuff. As always, we start off by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. And this week we have a couple of new Donatrons to add to the ranks. So welcome to Andrew and Arch Deluxe. Thank you guys for signing up. And Arch Deluxe committed to a whole year just off the bat. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, awesome.
And if you'd like to join them, if you'd like to send us a little Christmas present, let's go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. That's where you can sign up. We've also got a present that's already out early. Empire of Rust has got the next episode that's already out, should be already available in your podcast feed. So if you're subscribed to the main feed, you should already have access to it. This is episode 65. When the party's over, it's over. And this is, you know, just came out Monday, December 20th. So just in time for Christmas, you can listen over the holidays. And I believe this is the conclusion of the Trial of Magnum arc. So enjoy the thrilling conclusion. Anything else to say about this one, Mike?
No, you nailed it pretty well. This is the end of the first storyline of the second season, and it's going to be a bit of a shift going into the next couple episodes, and we're going to start exploring another character and kind of their backstory and their history. You can kind of see a bit of a trend with season two, where it's a lot more character focused rather than overall plot arc or plot storyline focused. So we'll start getting more into backstory and more into the history of some of these characters. So it's going to be an interesting little shift coming up for episodes 66 onwards.
All right. Looking forward to that. I have grown to love these guys over the last couple of years. So I'm curious to see delve into their backstories a little bit.
And thank you, everyone, who has commented on these last four or five episodes, too. All of us were a little bit nervous kind of going into this. I was mostly nervous, but everyone else was, I think, feeling it a little bit as we hit like the midpoint of this little story arc. Because, it's a trial, so it's not exactly we didn't think it would be the most thrilling stuff to listen to, but we certainly put all the work into it, and I think it came out really, really well. Thanks to all the stuff that everyone did, and a big thank you to Robo Apollo and one of my coworkers, Brandon, who did the voiceover for the prosecutor and the judge there. So a big thank you to everyone involved.
There's a reason why Law and Order has gone like 50 seasons, because people do like court dramas.
That is true, often imitated, right?
Yeah.
Well, I in particular, just the episode from the previous episode 64 ended on a really awesome, dramatic courtroom climax, so that was really cool to see that, and I think people reacted very positively to that. So yeah, this episode kind of gives us the definitive conclusion, and then takes us, right into the next storyline. So look forward to that. All right. Well, that's all the, intro stuff to get out of the way. So let's talk about some toys.
All right. And this week I'm going to change it up a bit. Last weekend, I was at TFCon, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to kind of talk about being at a convention again. And because I know that not everyone has been able to get out to TFCon or any kind of conventions, in quite some time. So I just wanted to, chat about it a bit. I got there on Friday, and it was kind of surreal being back in the old, the whole old hotel. They did things a little differently, whereas you basically needed to be, you needed to wait, until, the designated times to kind of do any kind of registration. Being as I was, quote unquote press, I tried to get registered early and was turned away. And then, I had to wait and do everything with everybody else. And I had no problem with that. It was fine.
You were fine hanging with the normies.
Yeah. And then once that was all taken care of, then I was in contact with a couple of our friends. One Alex Milne, and then we had talked a bit, and I had been in contact via Twitter with Andrew Griffith, who was coming in. To the airport, and he had asked me to pick him up. And, I don't do that very often, but, Andrew's a good guy, and I thought, you know what? What the hell? I'll go and pick up Andrew at the airport. Alex asked if he could come, and I said, sure, why not? So, you know, I appreciate that he came, because I sat and waited for Andrew for an hour at the airport. And it was, you know, it was quite a long time, but at least I had somebody to talk with. So that was kind of nice. But yeah, that picking somebody up at the airport, only good friends do that. So, you know, then once we got back to the hotel, Andrew wanted to kind of get, you know, settled, and I had to do a podcast panel. We didn't have a lot of time. Alex and I quickly ran out to Mickey D's to get some food. Not exactly the best food, but whatever, it was fast. The first podcast panel was Vangelis and myself. We tried to get other people to kind of come up and help, or not help, but kind of join us on stage, but there was nobody else there. No other podcasters were there. The audience on Friday was, you know, kind of lacking, and that was kind of the theme for the whole weekend. Everything was, you know, was kind of slow, and it was chill, and, you know, not a lot of people kind of there. And at that point, you know, you kind of realize that a TFCon in December is, it's different. So kind of fast forward to Saturday when everything kind of gets going. We get into the room, and it's very similarly to probably what you guys saw in Baltimore, where all the tables were very, very well spaced out. Lots of distance. And another kind of example of, you know, a convention in December, it really wasn't as busy as the July show. Plus, you know, it's a COVID con, right? So there's not a lot of people that really want to come out and risk, you know, COVID. So there's that weighing over your people, and there's, you know, December and Christmas and, you know, all that kind of stuff kind of adds factors to it. One thing that I did kind of notice is Andrew Griffith and Alex Milne were the only two professional artists there. And I kind of wondered if they'd have, you know, somebody else, you know, some other people there, maybe a Matt Moyland or somebody else that's local kind of show up, but they didn't. Everyone else there was kind of fan artists and kind of like the crafty artists and stuff like that, selling buttons and pins and stuff. And they all did great, but Artist Alley was, for all intents and purposes, was a ghost town for the most part. It's sat in the same spot it always does along that outer hallway. But there were like almost sometimes tumbleweeds going through there. It was so slow. All the action was going on in the dealer room, and that essentially stayed true for the whole weekend. They did extend the hours till, usually it closes at 5, but they closed it this weekend, or the Saturday at 6. I'm not sure why. Perhaps because they decided this year they weren't going to have a third party panel, or maybe some of the vendors needed more time to, you know, to maybe get more sales. I don't know, but they closed it an hour later. On Saturday night, trying to remember what I did, but yeah, what did I do? I didn't do any parts parties or anything like that, because that ended up happening. Oh, I did. I did do a parts party, because I got shut down. I did a parts party later on in the evening, around 10 o'clock. Yeah, 10 to 11. I did a quick little parts party, and there were some going on Fridays, on Friday, but not many. Like, I think I saw about two or three, maybe, that were happening. The board was put up, and there were some post-its around the, you know, the hotel. So on Saturday, I put some notes up and said, you know, this is, you know, my room, and I'll be sitting here and stuff like that. And it kind of died around 11. And as I left the room to go and kind of take down my notes, my room phone rang, and I thought, oh, that's weird. So I picked it up, and it was the hotel, you know, front desks asking, and if I put up these notes around the hotel. And that, I said, yeah, I said, and they said, well, you can't do that. The room is a private space for you, and you can't be selling stuff in your room, which, I mean, I get COVID stuff now, things have changed, but selling stuff in your room has been something that the con has done for years. So that's new. But whatever. Anyway, so I joined some people down at the bar and hung out for quite some time. And Sunday was a lot of the same. It does still switch over from TFCon to, CollectorCon, 80s. I don't know what they call it, but it's essentially, it's still TFCon, but the vendors are able to sell more than just Transformers on the Sunday. And that's fine. But yeah, so it was still kind of fun. And yeah, so it was good. I got to hang out with, you know, some friends of the show. DJ Ronan was there. Dice was there. I don't know what his username is, but, his real name's Frank. And we talked for a bit. He was real curious about, me and my diabetes, cause I had talked a bit about that, and apparently he's had it for quite some time. And we chatted about that. Arish was there, who is Mystic Marvels, and we chatted, you know, a good amount. I don't know whether you guys had it, you know, in the States, but, the wind was nuts on Saturday, absolutely nuts. And could feel the hotel moving on Saturday night. And that was kind of freaky. And Mystic Marvels had some stuff get knocked over at his place. So, he was telling me about that. I saw Duggernaut there. I'm trying to remember. I'm missing any names. But, yeah, it was nice to see some friendly faces that I haven't seen in some time. Mask mandates were in place. If you were anywhere outside of your own room, you had to wear a mask. If you were eating at the bar, was the only place that you could take your mask off. And that was about it. It was really nice to be around other people, you know, just to talk about Transformers again, to buy some Transformers again. There was some really cool stuff to look at. I don't know whether I've seen more G1, some late G1 stuff in my life. That was some of the coolest stuff I've seen in a long time. And it was really interesting to kind of, you know, look at that and see it in person. Some things that I have never laid eyes on were at the show, and it was really cool to actually see them in person. So that was really cool.
Can you give us a quick example before you wrap up?
I will show you in Trips to the Store.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I tweeted out some pictures. Have you seen my Twitter?
I saw your Twitter.
What's a Twitter?
I took some pictures of some stuff that was at the show. There's some really cool Diaclones. Somebody had a boxed, Italian, Transformer, from the company Gig, G-I-G, and it was a Hound, and it was beautiful shape. This is something that's, you know, it's more common in Canada because it's the, you know, Canadian version, but I think I saw 4 or 5 Canadian slags at the show, which is, I mean, yeah, it's Canada, Canadian slags, but these things are still rare, which is nuts. But this is the most I've ever seen. This seemed like if any convention was going to be like G1 focused, this was it. And I was really impressed with that. Like I said, there's some figures that I never in my life thought I'd ever see in person. And they were here. Let me bring up my own Twitter and see what I took pictures of, cause I forget now, but, let's see. So there was a Diaclone Ravage, which was very cool. And it was kind of encased in plastic. I'm just looking here. There's a Diaclone Slag, which was cool. So many really awesome stuff. So a Death Saurus, a G1 Death Saurus. I've never in my life seen that figure. A Galaxy Shuttle from the Japanese series. Some amazing things here. A Great Shot, which, I mean, yeah, okay, it's a 6-shot, you know, remold, but it's a Great Shot. That's, you know, it's cool. It's different, and it's cool. Just amazing. So So yeah, it was, there were some really, really cool things there. But I did pick up something, because the price was just too good to say no to. And it's one figure that I honestly had never thought I'd ever see, let alone own. And this is something I will show off in trips to the store. It's, did you guys have any questions about it, how it was run? I'm kind of glossing over a large portion of it, I'm sure.
So did they forego the third party panel?
They did. Yeah. Third party panel and the charity auction were not non-existent this year.
I mean, I suppose that makes sense. They had the third party panel at Baltimore, and like, how much new stuff is going to get announced?
Exactly.
In the last 2 months,
couple months, right?
Right.
And the charity auction, I imagine they knew it was going to be fewer people. So just hold out until July and you're going to be able to do a bigger one.
I think that's the plan. I mean, they're still trying to avoid huge mass gatherings. So, in the charity auction and the third party panel still tend to pack that panel room.
It is unfortunate the artist alley was so thin.
It is. You guys, and I tried to make my best efforts to talk to as many as those the fan artists as possible. The people involved with doing command droids were there again, and I chatted with them. I know Charles, you interviewed them a couple years ago, and chatted with them. There's a whole book out now. They just got their rule book, I guess is the word for it. But they're kind of manual for running a command droids game. And I took a picture of the person involved with the art side of it. They did a really good job on that. And it's just a bunch of fan artists. So yeah, it was really, really fun. And it was just being around like-minded people again was just great. I really had a good time with it.
Nice.
Jeremy, what do you got any actual toys to talk about this week? What's up with you?
Not really toys. I have information about future toys.
Okay.
We have someone has found product numbers for upcoming Legacy and Studio Series figures. So these are ones that have been rumored and leaked for a while, but now we have some kind of hard information on them that people can be, searching for on, the different sites that track, inventories and stuff. But some of these, I hadn't been aware that they were coming this soon. So I'm going to go through this list here, and then I'll call out a couple that were more intriguing to me. We have Selects Deluxe Guard. Not sure what that one is. Deluxe Transformers 6 Ironhide. That's a Studio Series, I guess. Deluxe Transformers 6 RC. Voyager Studio Series 86 Junkyard. Leader Studio Series 86 Sledge. Core Studio Series 86 Spike. A Leader Blitzwing. Voyager Beast Inferno. Voyager Armada Starscream. Deluxe Alita 1. Deluxe Tarantulas. Core Shockwave. Core G2 Megatron. Core Optimus Prime. Core Iguanus. Core Skywarp. Voyager Soundwave. Voyager G-Axis. Deluxe Wild Rider and Deluxe Knockout. So the last, or I guess the majority of that list was the Legacy stuff. But really what stood out to me was that Studio Series 86 Sledge. So we've been critical in the past of how long it takes them to complete a team. How long did it take for those Insecticons to finish? It was a few years in multiple lines. And it seems like they are plowing through the Studio Series 86 and getting Sledge out, the third one. I think, between now and this time next year, hopefully we'll have at least four of the five done. I'm really looking forward to, because I would really like to complete a set of Dinobots with that quality that we saw from Grimlock and Slag. Some of the other ones, like Armada Starscream, I'm kind of looking forward to that one. That's a cool design. And then that Voyager Soundwave that we saw from that Hasbro call, I think that is going to look fantastic. What do you guys think about this list, and what are you interested in? Charles, I'll start with you.
Yeah, this is all interesting stuff. I guess, is TF6, is that the Bumblebee movie? So I guess those would be...
Isn't that the... what was it?
Rise of the Beasts?
Yeah, Rise of the Beasts.
Well, isn't that technically the seventh movie? That's or
seventh one, oh, yeah. Six is Bumblebee. Is it? Yep.
So I'm okay, guessing...
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, sorry. We saw those on the call, too.
Oh, okay.
I forgot. I think Bumblebee is... It's you know, I don't think of that as TF6. But, yeah, so those are the probably Bumblebee Studio series.
Okay, yeah. Because I think we've seen the RC, but we haven't seen... I mean, I'm sure Ironhide is just a repaint of the Ratchet, but we haven't actually seen Ironhide.
I thought we did. Oh, yeah, I think we saw the Ratchet. But yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious to see what the Ironhide looks like, but... Yeah, I mean, Junkyard getting a remold or I guess a retool of Wreck-Gar as a you know, and so you can army build your Junkions. I'm sure that'll be fun for people who like to army build, but with expensive figures.
It'd just be nice to have one Junkion be able to ride a different one that looks slightly different.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, although all the people who bought two Wreck-Gars are probably kind of. scrunching their face now. The core spike interests me just because I'm curious to see if they're going to do anything better than the previous exosuits we've gotten that have been terrible. So I'm curious if we'll actually get like a figure that, you know, isn't just like a silver blank, you know, thing on the head and barely any articulation.
Yeah, I'm hoping because you're selling it by itself. You make freaking G.I. Joes. You have experience making humans.
Yeah, and those last few exosuit. I mean, they've been packed in with other figures, but they've all been terrible. Blitzwing, that interests me. A liter size triple changer, that would be cool. And Alita 1, I'm curious what if that's going to be a new mold or something that's a repaint of something else. Tarantulas coming into the legacy line, I guess, as a holdover from the Beast Wars characters we got in Kingdom. So that could be interesting. Maybe that's a retool of the Black Arachne we already got. The G-Axis also interests me because I am a big comic guy, so I'm curious what's going to be there. And Knockout.
You know, the last time we had a G-Axis toy, it was also a remold of an Amarda Starscream.
Oh, you're right. So maybe this is going to be the same thing. I was hoping for an original G-Axis mold, but that seems more likely than that. It seems more likely to be a repaint of the Armada Starscream since we have that precedent. but yeah, those are the ones that interest me. Knockout, as a, you know, from Transformers Prime, that was a standout character. So I'm curious about that. The core figures kind of don't interest me at all because, I mean, we just got core Optimus Prime and Megatron. So is this G2 Megatron just going to be a repaint of that? And then is core Optimus Prime just going to be a re-release of the other one? So, I mean, those are nice for people for the, you know, I mean, those are the Legends, they're budget Legends class figures. So that's good for little guys, but, the Hasbro core class figures don't interest me, but everything else seems pretty cool.
Awesome. Mike, do any of these interest you?
Yeah, a couple of them do. I want to see what that guard figure is supposed to be. That I'm just interested in seeing what it is before making a judgment on it. I can't tell a whole lot just by guard. It's like, okay.
I'm wondering if it's going to be a weaponizer type figure.
Yeah, you know. If it is, I would probably be up for it because I already pre-ordered the Slammer and I have the other weaponizers. So you know what, I'm up for it certainly. I don't have the Leader Dinobots. I haven't gone in on that. So while I certainly appreciate Sludge coming out, it's you know I'm not really that excited for it. But I am glad that everyone's going to get a chance to get it though because I do hope they finish up that line. Or finish up the Dinobots with that. Because to your point, Jeremy, especially with the Insecticons, they did finish them. But since it was in so many different lines, they had very different aesthetics to each one, and they look very different from each other.
Right, so they essentially aren't really the same team anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope they do finish the Dinobots, and I hope the aesthetic all matches as it should. So hopefully... What else am I interested in here? The G2 Megatron in the core class kind of interests me. I don't know why, but the idea of this like tiny little tank is kind of interesting. Iguanus, kind of same thing. We haven't seen an Iguanus figure for a while, and I think core class might be a good place for it. Because that was like a scout-sized Beast Wars figure way back in the day, so that might be interesting to see. The last one that I am interested in is the Gyaxis as well, to kind of echo you, Charles. I hope it's neat, but what you guys just said about it being a repaint of Armada Starscream, I don't know. I have the deluxe version from, I think it was Thrilling 30, that era.
Yep.
And it was a good figure. Don't get me wrong. It was a great figure. The Armada Starscream, the deluxe Armada Starscream from that era was pretty solid. And I hope that it is good. And I really hope that it's unique and it's its own mold. But the more I think about it, the more I think you two are right on that one. So
yeah, I was just looking. The numbers are two off.
Starscream yeah.
F3056 and GXS is 3058.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. Whereas something like the Soundwave is like 3517, so it's quite a ways off.
Right. Yeah, so, I'm wondering if they would do like a Thundercracker or Skywarp as like 3057.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, you would imagine everything that shares a mold is going to be close.
Right. I mean, they in Armada they did the Starscream, the Thundercracker, and the Skywarp. So. But then again, in Armada, the Thundercracker repaint wasn't meant to be a separate character in its own right, whereas the Skywarp was. So, who knows? I mean, it's people who get all the Seekers from a set, they're going to get them all anyway. but yeah, if they do it as similar mold, I hope they do a significant amount of retooling to kind of make it a bit more interesting. Because I don't need a Voyager Gyaxis that's just an Armada Starscream. I already have one. Mm-hmm. If it's different enough and more comic accurate or more comic similar, then yeah, I can get behind that. But yeah, that's it. I think nothing else really on here is too interesting for me. But yeah,
cool. And Daryl, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I am in for the Leader Sludge. That I've got the first two. And Sludge is like it's pre-bought. Like, come on, get these things out. Core class Spike. If it looks good, like I'll buy it. But I don't need to really, you know, go full into this. It is a Studio Series 86 figure, but I don't really need to get everything. Junkyard. I do have a Rekgar and I kind of want to have him riding somebody. So it's, you know, that's probably what I'm going to do with this. The Leader Blitzwing is also very cool. But I mean, it's getting into the territory of, almost masterpiece size at this point. And I don't need to really, I have a really cool looking masterpiece scaled, Blitzwing. So I don't really need to double up on that. The ones that really kind of stand out to me are the Wild Rider, because the idea of the Combiner Menasor is coming together. There is this rumor that the breakdown in that set is going to be Transformers Prime breakdown, which kind of, you know, doesn't work for me, but if that happens, I know that there's going to be a third party company that will produce a G1 styled breakdown to fit in that set. It's just the way it's going to be. But yeah, I'm, these are all great figures, and Armada Starscream is another great one. It's a great looking mold. But I have an original and I have the last one they did, the deluxe one. So I don't need to have so many of these. And I kind of agree with Charles on the core class. They're a great little figure. And if you can get a good one, like the Soundwave is a great little figure. But I don't need to buy all of them. So yeah, there's some really great names on here. And, the future of the Transformers brand with Legacy is looking awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that is everything I got. Mike, what do you have this week?
So what I got is some new images of some pretty enormous busts of Optimus Prime and Giggity. yeah, so some pretty giant busts of Optimus Prime and Megatron. Now, it says these are G1 style busts, but in the end, they really aren't. They are really, really stylized. But they are absolutely massive. The images that we got are showing these two effectively statues next to who is assumedly the designer. He is sitting cross-legged on the floor, and the busts are coming up over this guy's head. So these things are at least 2.5 feet, if not 3 feet tall, or maybe even a bit more. And unfortunately, we got no pricing information on this or release date or anything. These are just like straight up images. But they do look, they are in a good place, like a fairly complete stage. They don't like a classic bust. They don't have arms or anything. It's just from the waist up. So the waist up to the head and then the shoulders, but cut off at the arms, which, you know, I wish they did a... I wish they included the arms with it. I know a classic bust doesn't include them, but in the end, it does feel a little bit weird with robots cutting the arms off for it. It's not really as like sinuous as it. It looks like the arms are like broken off or missing rather than it being cut off intentionally like a designed bust. But yeah, the biggest thing is that these things are massive. I mean, if they created these like a full statue of these rather than just the bust, this could literally be a suit of armor for a life-size person. That's how giant these things are. As far as detail goes, these things are pretty well detailed, especially on the bases. There's a lot of like rich detail of virtually like mechanical and electronics equipment on there. It looks like it's sitting on like part of like a Cybertron sculpture kind of thing. So that's kind of neat. And yeah, I mean, it's just, they're just absolutely beautiful looking. And Megatron's facial expression there, the big grin he's got is just insane. Let's start off with Charles, because we know Charles loves his non-transforming figures. And since you've got Unicron, that means you love giant stuff too. So this must be right up your alley, right?
these are impressive. I mean, the pretty much life-size figures these are. But I got to agree with you, Mike. I'm not a fan of the no arms. It does make them, it makes them weirdly look like, I guess, like mannequins or something. But the detail on their bodies is really impressive. And particularly with Optimus Prime, like you can see the matrix chamber inside his chest behind the windows. It looks really cool. I am not a fan of the Megatron grimace. That's
really, that's, you're not?
No, it's, I don't know. It just, it looks too weird to me. I don't know. I would like him to be a little bit more neutral. His face be a little expression, be a little bit more neutral. He looks almost like the Joker there. And I envision Megatron as being, you know, not quite like he's a power hungry maniac, but he's not insane. So, you know, I don't know.
See, I actually disagree with you on that. I far too many like figures that I have these just flat neutral expressions, and I've found that it's just boring to me. So I actually would like to see more expressive faces on Transformers. I think animated did it pretty well with like the little smirks and stuff they had on there. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
well, yeah, I don't want a completely neutral face, but I just think this goes too far in the other direction.
That's right. Walk it back, Charles. It's okay. What about you, Daryl? Do you have opinions on busts?
Oh, lots. But when it comes to these. Who's buying these? Like, these are huge. Like, are these being put outside of a gate to scare people from coming into your house? What are you buying these for?
I could totally see, like, if you had a classic brick fence or something, like a brick, like wall around your house, and you have like these two pedestals like next to your gate, you could put both of them on top of it.
Yeah, you know, and they'd make the gate look small. but I don't understand. These things are so large, and they look amazing. Like, the detail on them is just beyond the, you know, words. But the size is just unreasonable. Like, is this some kind of pre-tool that they're going to shrink down to get, you know, incredible amounts of detail in something smaller? I don't understand the size. It seems, you know, that it's annoyingly large. This thing's got, for, like, not to, not even to talk about the price, this thing's got to weigh a ton. How do you move it? I don't, it's ridiculous. It's, make it smaller. It's crazy. It's, they're great looking, but just way too big.
It's completely hollow, Daryl.
What about you, Jeremy? Do you got a nice brick fence with some pedestals you can pop these in front of your house in?
I don't. I feel like this is like something that someone would put in the lobby of an office, like a game developer or something. This is definitely something for someone that has too much money and too much space and they need to fill it with stuff. The artistic quality on these things is amazing. I love that it is like official G1 Megatron, because you can tell that he has the pistol pieces on his shoulders. And I for one, love the Shedinny grin that he has. I think that's awesome. Right. But these look really cool. I'm wondering if, like, Optimus' chest opens up, because there's a lot of detail inside there. Like, you can see a Matrix compartment, but, you know, who knows if it'll actually open up. But I really like these in terms of just how they look. But they are definitely not for me. I would not be able to even consider how much they would cost. They're going to be so expensive. But it's also the type of thing that probably a low number of units would make, you know, that's all they'll probably make, and they'll make a profit on it. So, you know, more power to XM Studios. I think, you know, the artistic quality is off the charts on these.
Cool. Yeah, I think the one critique that I would have for it is Prime's chest. It doesn't look like there's a window in there. It looks like it's just open, and I'm hoping that on the final version it actually has some like some clear plastic, or I don't think they'd do glass, but you know, some transparent material.
You're making
in there.
Something this big, it's going to be glass. Come on,
maybe. But yeah, either way, there does need to be something in there. It doesn't look like there is right currently, but you know, give it time. I'm sure that because these are prototypes, they probably just didn't deal with that at the moment. But yeah, so that's what I got. Charles, why don't you go ahead and bring us home?
Okay, well, I've got some stuff from our old friends at Iron Factory. So these are the guys who do lots of legend-scaled figures, third-party figures. And the latest set we've got is some prototypes and renders of a Lyo Kaiser figure. So this is the combiner from the Japanese series. It was a Transformers Victory? Yes, Transformers Victory. So these are the Decepticon combiner. I believe it's six characters that combine to form this big guy, Lyo Kaiser. And it looks pretty good. These are smaller figures, but they do get a lot of articulation and detail. These are particularly focused on the animation models from the Japanese cartoon. So, you know, the combiner mode looks, I'd say, a little bit plain, but I think we'll see how we'll have to see how the individual bots look. We only have a view of one character, so that's Leo Zach. He's the one center chest figure, and we have him in his robot mode and jet mode, and then all the other characters we just see the combined mode. But I'm intrigued. I was never a hugely into the Japanese series. I've never watched Transformers Victory, so don't have a huge connection to these guys, but it does look cool, and you know, I'm curious to see more. Daryl, what do you think of these Iron Factory figures?
I love these things. This looks amazing. Some of the discussion while at TFCon this or last weekend was about Iron Factory and how they appear to be a one run and done company now, or have always been, and nobody seemed to realize it. On the plus side, if you have Iron Factory stuff, especially early stuff, which I know a few of you do, it's worth a ton now. Now this stuff here, what it kind of does on the, you know, the not so positive side is that, getting a hold of a full set of six figures is going to be difficult. Because there's a very strong contingent of people, that are after Iron Factory stuff, just specifically because it's Iron Factory. They buy everything Iron Factory, like fans toys fans do. I like the way that this looks. It looks really great. The CG rendering, really looks solid. And, I'd be very interested to buy this set, but I'm going to need to be able to get it all at once. So it's going to probably cost a lot, but, I'm going to start looking for it. Yeah. When it starts to drop anyway, but yeah, that's, it looks great. And Iron Factory is definitely got my interest again with this stuff.
All right. So pick up some extra hours at the comic book store and save up.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, what do you think of this, these figures?
It is pretty amazing looking. Not going to lie. It's unfortunately a pass for me just because I haven't picked up a lot of like the Legends size stuff like this. I think I got, I got like two Iron Factory, sets. But yeah, it's similar to what Daryl said. I would want to be guaranteed the entire set. Like, I don't want to be trying to pick and choose like which ones I'm going to get here. If I can't get all of it, then I don't want any of it. It is really, really beautiful looking though. If they did it as like a gift set or something, I'd be really tempted. I'd be really tempted because it is really, really beautiful looking.
Yeah, there's a potential there for that. I think they've done it before.
Yeah, you know, if they do, I can sort of get behind that more. So, Iron Factory, if you're listening and you want to do a gift set, please do a gift set.
So the sticker price of the gift set wouldn't be an issue. I mean, I imagine with if we're saying $30 to $40 per figure with six figures, that's like $180 to $240 for a gift set. So.
If it's on the lower end, like closer to 180, I mm-hmm. would be okay with that. Once you start getting over 200, though, even for like a combiner set like this, it's starting to kind of get a little bit out of my range. I mean, I picked up Quantron from Make Toys on sale for, I think, like 200, like the full set. So getting a legend size set for the same price, for like over the same price, that's a little rough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Quantron set was on a humongous discount at the time, right?
True. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like a just natural price. And I get that we're getting six figures, each one's individually articulated and they're good figures in their own right. They all transform and everything. And I get all that. I get it. Just over 200 for a legend size combiner that's not going to be much bigger than a Voyager, that's still a rough thing for me to swallow. So yeah, if it's closer to like the 180 range, I'd be much happier and much more tempted by it. If they did it like they probably wouldn't, but if they did it under like 180, that'd be like, ooh, I might need to get that.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see. I mean, I think since we're only seeing prototypes and renders here, we've still probably got a little bit of time before these come out. So we'll check back next year and see what we get. Jeremy, what did you think of this set?
I think they look really cool. I am not really one to buy third party combiners, mainly because of price, but I can appreciate everything that they're doing here. I know Iron Factory makes, you know, great quality figures, and just, you know, seeing these renders, it just looks fantastic. And I love the one where they have the scale of the figures with everything else and just how they're kind of keeping a standard scale with their line and just how much bigger this guy is going to be. It's just fantastic looking. So I'm happy for all the Victory fans that are able to get this guy, but not really for me. I do think that, in my opinion, not really knowing the ins and outs of the economics of making toys, but it just seems to me like doing your run and then doing the gift set or doing the gift set and then doing individual figures after just makes a lot of sense because you're gonna get, you might even get double sales. I don't know, but you're gonna get a number of people that just want, they don't really want the hunt. They just want to get everything all together. And you know, that the gift set just seems like the ideal situation for making any kind of combiner.
Yep. Okay, well, that's all our toy topics, so let's move on to our trips to the store. This is where we show off all the cool Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video on our YouTube channel, so you can see everything we get in beautiful high definition. And we'll also put the audio right here in the show so you can keep listening as we describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
Okay, let's start off and show off the stuff we got. I'm going to go first because I don't have anything new this week, but I do still have stuff I'm trying to get rid of. And so here is War for Cybertron Siege 6-Gun. He's a cool little figure. He's a weaponizer. He comes apart. You can make him weapons for all your other War for Cybertron figures. And you could use him if you have that Metroplex from a few years ago. He's a, you know, he can be an accessory to your Metroplex. So lots of opportunity for this guy. I still have the instructions. Oh, that's upside down. I still have the instructions. It's still upside down. There it is. And so this can be yours. Make me an offer if you want, you know, if you're looking for a 6-gun. I'm willing
$2?
To. No. Make me a reasonable offer.
I mean, I don't want to discourage you because this is obviously a brilliant idea, but has this worked yet?
No.
Okay.
Go to the Discord. Send me a message.
I mean, you could post them in there.
I could just do that.
That might work a little bit better.
Yeah. It's also a substitute for not having anything for trips to the store.
The truth comes out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take the spotlight off me and shift it over to Jeremy.
All right. I have the second one of the Golden Disc collection.
Oh, wow.
See the boxes coming together. Oh, it's
going to make a picture.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be, but, you know. So the second one is Autobot Jackpot with Autobot Sights. Jackpot, basically, he's a jazz remold.
Cool.
The worst thing about this figure has been the head. I'm sure people have seen online. It is not a very good head. You can zoom in on here. You can definitely see half of the head is higher than the other half.
Wow.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Mine does that.
I didn't have the jazz mold before. I think the paint on this thing is really good. Really nice. The black and orange and yellows, they all work really well together. Sights is just this weaponizer guy that's the pterosaur, turns into the axe, flipped around. It's just a reuse of that. Yeah, nothing special. But I mean, I didn't have this jazz mold before and, you know, saw this and it's a really good looking figure. So, I mean, nothing much more to say about it. But you know, I'm happy to have him. So I think that is all I got.
All right. Okay. Now we've got, our last two guys. I think we're going to do, dueling TFCon hauls. So Mike's got some of his haul from back in October, and Daryl's got his haul from TFCon Toronto just this last week. So Have at it, guys.
Daryl, I think you need to start us off, because I already started showing some of my TFCon stuff where you haven't.
Sure, sure. I'll start it off real easy. This is Transformers Wreckers, Treads and Circuits, number 3. A nice, easy one. Cover A. And, yeah, so I picked this one up this week. Yeah, so this is the cover I got here. And, yeah, I have started it. Mike, your turn.
I am showing off a Combiner Wars Trailbreaker. You may remember
from... got his name back.
Yeah. You may remember a while back, I believe it was Dr. Pants who helped me get a first aid. And I have made significant progress in putting together the custom combiner that I was going to be building. So that's the first piece.
Very cool. I will go next with one of the sketch covers that I got done at TFCon. I got two done. And this is my Alex Milne sketch cover on a Venom sketch book. And this was a very, very cool sketch that he did. The cover is black, and he did the entire sketch in whiteout. So it just looks amazing. So
wow. Yeah,
it's very cool. I'm going to get a high-res scan of it eventually when I can get some room in here. I'm actually kind of happy Mike and I were doing this, because I need to get through all this crap so I can put it away. So,
that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm really happy with the way that this turned out. Alex is a guy who's got more talent in his little finger than I do in my entire body. So
is that something you might consider getting CGC'd?
I don't know. I mean
just for the protective,
they'd have to I've got so many of them now, so if I did one, I'd have to do them all. And plus, they'd have to witness him doing it to get any kind of, you know, verification on it. So probably not.
Okay.
Is that really how that works with sketch covers? They actually need to see them doing it, or like a video or something?
They have to actually be present when it's being done. Yeah. At least at the end.
Or when they sign it.
Yeah. So they can actually be verified. Yeah.
Well, unfortunate. Well, since we can show off things that are not Transformers related, I'm going to show off my Neko Goliath figure.
That's very cool.
From Gargoyles.
I've seen a lot of people getting these lately, and I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty awesome. It's for those of you who do collect like the Marvel Legends stuff, or like the that size class from DC, this guy actually does fit that size class pretty well, because he's supposed to be like a 7-8 foot tall figure, and it fits perfectly well with that scale too. So very, very happy. The wings are a bit insane because they're just massive and giant, and most of the package was the wings. But I am told that future figures are actually going to come with like the folded wings for like some of the characters. So like the dog Bronx, he is going to come with the folded wings for Goliath. So that's
very
nice.
Cool. Very cool.
Back to you.
All right. Well, I got two sketch covers done, and I'm going to show the second one. This is done by Andrew Griffith, and he took the whole weekend to do it, and I'm glad he did, because this is Detective Comics number 1000, and he knocked this one out of the park. This
I saw that
is
on your Twitter.
It was on my Twitter. Did you see it on my Twitter? It is absolutely amazing, and he put a lot of work into this. And for anyone who doesn't, you know, who's always kind of been on the fence about getting sketch covers done, this is the reason why you do it. This thing was just blank, and now it's a piece of art, and that's, you know, it really is amazing, and it looks so good, really amazing. So thanks again to Andrew and Alex for doing sketch covers for me at the show. They really turned out really nice.
That one is amazing.
It's very, very good. They did a great job. Yeah.
I might not be able to compete just for a volume alone, because I already burned my way through all the comics that I got at the con, all the comics that Charles saved for me. But
I'm not going to show the ones I got signed. I got 25 comics signed.
Jesus. I got, just the other week, the Transformers deck building game, which I am hoping to try out at some point soon, without the promos, because I was not one of the lucky few to get a case of promos. So if you're not familiar with that story, apparently there was some shipping problems with the promos, and the people who got the promos, instead of getting one pack, they got a case of the promos. And Renegade was sent out an email kind of like panicking. He's like, hey, you know what? Our community is so great. We'll give you shipping. Why don't you send the extras back to us so we can get them out to all the other fans that that need it. So I don't ever expect to see them. But yes, Transformers deck building game. I am hoping to play it soon. I know a couple of people in our Discord have managed to get a hold of it already. And yeah, looks fun. Looks a little bit complicated, to be honest. Like, the rules are no joke. But we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, it was talked about during TFCon, and I think Vangelis was one of the guys who got a case. So,
nice.
Yeah. So I don't know what he's doing about it. I think he's pretty honest. So he's probably, you know, giving it back. But yeah, it was discussed. It was definitely brought up. All right. I'm gonna go into my first actual toy, and I'm gonna show this off. I'm showing this off because, you know, it's Transformers adjacent, and I'm showing it because Jeremy's gonna get a kick out of it. I bought this thing, and it came in a Voltron box. It's from a company called Microcosmos, and the figure's name is Elvis. And he's a legend scale, fully transformable, converting, whatever you want to call it, combining Voltron figure.
That's nice. I bet he has a hunk of blazing sword.
He's really awesome, and there's a whole bunch of extra parts and stuff with him. He is fully articulated. You know, he's really great. I haven't actually disassembled him to put him into the lions, you know, the individual lions yet, but really he's fantastic. I'm getting a lot of different, you know, poses out of him. He can do the superhero pose, like the superhero landing pose, but he's awesome. I can't remember what I spent on him. I think he was 100 and something bucks, but it's kind of worth it. I mean, he's tiny, but there's a lot in here. So yeah, he's pretty cool.
That's what she said.
I mean, you say he's tiny, but he is like as big as your face. I mean, he's
well, yeah.
I mean, tiny relatively, you know. I mean, he's
like half.
Yeah, so I'm on my shoulder. He's you know,
he's still a good size.
I wrote to somebody. I posted it in the Voltron thread on Reddit this week. So he's 16 centimeters tall, or 6.3 inches of your Neanderthal measurements. He's awesome. He's really great. Back to you.
So an impulse buy at the at TFCon Baltimore was this guy. Whoa, he's slipping. And that is the Ace Hitter figure from Fans Toys. Fans Toys, did I get that right?
Yeah. Or Fans Hobby.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And yeah, I was kind of just going back and forth at the, I think it was the Chosen Primes booth, and just kind of going back, and it's like, hey, like what should I get? Because this was before I found the Soundwave that I showed off last time I was on the show. And it was like, all right, yeah, you know what? I want to pick up like a third-party figure here. Just, you know, something a bit light. I don't need something huge this time. And a lot of people were recommending the this mold along with the Windblade and the Minerva and the Nightbeat. So, so all of them. And everyone kept on saying that out of all of them, this is the better one. So, yeah, I picked it up. It was on sale, I think, for like, I don't know, 70 or something like that, 70 or 80. So
that's a good decent price. Deal.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I was really, really happy with it. The joints are a tiny bit on the loose side, but that is fixable. But yeah, just an absolutely beautiful looking figure. Perfect masterpiece scale. And it hits like everything I didn't know I needed for it. And I was like, yeah, this is like, yeah, absolutely. Love it. Now I'm looking forward to getting the cab and picking up the Nightbeat.
Very cool. I almost impulse bought that one as well. Well, I saw it sitting there a few times, and it was $90 Canadian. So, yeah,
A little pricey, but honestly,
it works out to be the same.
Yeah. It, honestly, it's so worth it. I mean, like I said, this is an impulse buy for me, and I don't regret it at all. And I've done some impulse buys at cons that I immediately regret. Not
we
this one.
We all have.
Back to you.
Okay, so I'm going to put both of these in one because, you know, they're kind of similar, and I have a feeling you're running out of stuff. It's, you know, so we want to get this, you know, get us through here. These are MicroMaster combiners, and they are, well, I guess they're reissues, but they came out in the Cybertron line. We've got 6-train and 6-turbo. Where are they here? So I got these from the same vendor. 6-turbo is missing a hand and a gun, but I have been in contact with who I bought it with, and they found it. So we're gonna meet up, and I'm gonna get that. So they are both going to be complete. I'm really happy with these. These are kind of fun. I never really kind of searched out these things, but then when I saw them sitting on the table, I was kind of like, oh, these things, huh? And they said, yeah, well, I can give you both of them for $80. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm in. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a good deal.
Yeah, so I picked up both of these things.
I think I have one or maybe both of those as well. They're fun, but combiner is kind of in quotes because you're connecting them to a frame.
Not a lot of articulation after the fact, yeah. So they look cool, and they're just
like
kind of
GoBot combiners.
Exactly. They're going to stand on a shelf somewhere and just kind of, you know, just be. But they're neat. So they're kind of, you know, getting the original, you know, Japanese ones is just not, it's not possible. They're ghosts. So yeah. But yeah, these ones are accessible and now I have them. So I'm happy about that. So yeah, these ones.
I have the 6-turbo. I like that one. I also have the 6-wing and the 6-builder, the Constructicon like colored version of the construction ones. I never found the train one, and like every once in a while I check eBay for it, and the prices are like, oh, I want to say it's like 15 to 20 per piece, and it's like, oh god, I can't justify that. Like, I want to complete the set, but no, that what you got for like 40 for it, oh man, that's a great price.
Well, because I bought both of them, the guy threw in the Aerial Bots one, and all the joining pieces are gold plastic, so he's essentially just, he's garbage. Ooh. So
I wonder if someone could 3D print.
I'm like, sure you could, yeah. But I'm not super, you know, crazy about doing it. It's, you know, it's Superion and most of the stuff is smashed up anyway. So it's whatever. It was free.
Mine are still in this in one piece. So that's a little concerning now. Hey, whatever works, right? All right, so for those of you who are incredibly loyal listeners and have watched every episode, you may remember that I picked up the Battlecore Optimus Prime from Combiner Wars months and months back, but I finally got the upgrade kit that I needed for him, the Primo Vitalis, I believe, upgrade kit for it, to turn him into like the Nova Prime, and oh, he is a beautiful, beautiful figure. Look at that.
It's very cool.
It is just gorgeous. This guy is going to be like the big centerpiece to the combiner I'm putting together. I got him now. I got Trailbreaker. I got First Aid. I just got to find two more pieces. I got to find a Streetwise, I believe. And I forget the other one. Oh, no, I have the other one. It was an extra off-road. That's right. So, yeah, all I need to find left now is a Streetwise, which is going to be pricey, and then probably an upgrade kit for the feet and the hands. And then my combiner will be done, and I will show him off then as well. But, yeah.
You're going to use this as the combiner torso?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
That's what it was designed for.
Yeah.
The wings for it, like, they connects to the side of the hips to like form like these almost like samurai inspired armor pieces that kind of like sit over the sides, or you can set them up on the back for like giant wings, but honestly I like the kind of side plating look a bit better. Okay. So yeah, yeah. But yep, that was the entire reason I got this set, because I wanted to do it as the combiner torso.
Did you have any issues getting the pin out?
Oh yeah, God, that took me forever. I actually need to get some help from a friend who had some some hardware for it to do that, because that pin was awful.
Yeah, I did it in my basement, and just I thought I broke the figure, but luckily enough,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, so did I. It was like, son of a bitch. Yeah, Pin was awful. Back to you.
Okay, so
all right, guys, I'm giving you guys the wrap it up symbol here.
So we'll
We'll do one more round.
Mike's got one more.
I got one more.
Okay, well, I got two more then. I'm going to skip a few and go to two more. This guy I got, I got a pretty good deal on him. He was, I didn't think I'd see him, but I saw him and I asked and they said, oh, he's $200. And I'm like, $200? I can't say no to $200. And he's missing his gun, so I think I can maybe find it, but frankly, you really don't need it with this guy. This is G1 Star Saber.
Nice.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Very cool.
So everything else is here. The sword blade is, you know, intact, and there's a little chrome damage, but, you know, not a big deal. It's all here. He looks great. The white is, you know, it's pretty good. He's not too yellowed. You know, he's in good shape. It's a G1 Star Saber.
Wow.
And yeah, I've taken them. I've transformed them a couple times. The elevator gimmick works really well. Just damn. So this is one of the figures that was at the show that, you know, I think it must be the fact that the HasLab, you know, stuff is, you know, they did Star Saber or Victory Saber, but G1 Star Sabers were everywhere as far as, you know, like they were all over the place, and as well as Victory Leos were everywhere. And so when I saw this and the guy said, yeah, $200 and, you know, I'm like, yeah, okay, here, $200. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy to have a G1 Star Saber. Now I got to find a place to put it. It's got to go in one of these cabinets. It's too cool to just be hanging out near loose.
Certainly. Okay, so my last piece, speaking of Star Saber, I got myself the Planet X Cadmos, the More Than Meets the Eye inspired Star Saber,
That's dangerous very cool.
and murderous one. yeah, this is easily among one of my favorite like third party figures, because this is just absolutely beautiful looking, super well articulated. The transformation is pretty intuitive. It's a little complicated, especially like on the legs, but for the most part, everything snaps into place really, really nicely. And I am really, really looking forward to when they do a Victory Leo on this, so I can combine those two. But yeah, this is absolutely beautiful looking figure. Certainly one of the a big highlights of the collection. But yeah, Planet X Cadmos.
That's very
cool.
Got
some Star Saber love on this cast, this Taya, don't we?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then the last figure that I have for the show is the one that I assumed I'd never ever see, let alone buy. And this was the one that I just, you know, I got an amazing deal on it. It's because it was damaged. The vendor showed me. It is boxed, which is ridiculous. And he took it out of the box to show me how good the figure was. And there was damage on the figure. So it was going to be much, much more pricey. And then he said, oh, I can't sell it like this. And I said, well, wait a minute. What do you want to do with it? Like, I mean, I'm still interested because, you know, I can deal with damage and stuff like that. And he's like, well, if you give me $100 and it's yours. I'm like, done. So,
but he didn't know it was damaged before he pulled it out?
No. So I have a complete in-box Star Convoy.
Wow.
What's the damage?
So on the side of the figure right here, you can see it. Some kind of the plastic has melted, and it's done it on both sides.
Huh.
Now, that's according really weird. To the vendor.
Too close to the fire in the fireplace.
Yeah. According to the vendor, this back piece, this leg section, is probably the easiest one to replace because, you know, people had these figures and then they, you know, they would bust the front or the top and then they'd just be left with parts. And the biggest part is the bottom leg bit, and that would be the only piece that would kind of survive. So I'm going to look around for it just to see. There's potential that somebody tried to glue some stickers on and that's what's done it. But, you know, I don't really know. I got this thing for $100. This came in its box.
Even the box is in good shape, too. Look at that. Well,
I mean, it's covered in tape. So it's all Scotch tape. So it's good enough.
Again, it's still a pretty good looking box. I
mean, yeah. Yeah. The styrofoam has got everything, including the little MicroMaster hot rod.
Nice.
And this is my first one of these things. I've never had one of those before. Some kind of transport. It doesn't transform or anything. It's just there.
It's a launcher, I think, isn't it? Or something like that?
It has some kind of launch gimmick in it. Yeah. All the paperwork is here, including the kind of toy catalog from the Takara line at the time. It's huge. Like, it's really, it folds out to be really, really big and long. All the rest of the guns and accessories and stuff are in there. He has an accessory to the red piece there to attach to Grandis. When the guy said this, he's like, you know, if you get a Grandis, you can attach him to it. And I'm like, Grandis? Who are you talking to? I'm not going to get a Grandis. There's like 5 in the world. So,
I mean, $100. I mean, honestly, you could spend $100 just for like the box and the insert. Honestly,
yeah, this was the steal of the show for me. I'm pretty impressed with this thing. Damage aside, it's a Star Convoy. I've seen pictures of this. I've never actually seen one in person, and then I walked out of the show with one. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Other than the damage pieces, like the colors and stickers and stuff look really good.
It's amazing. It's the thing is mint. Like, the thing is in mint condition, other than the damage, obviously. Like, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
have you transformed it yet?
Yes, I did. This section back here is a battered motorized section, and it still works. So,
wow.
In his truck mode, which sucks. I mean, this guy is, he's a brick, like the definition of a brick. This guy is a total brick, but he does what he's supposed to do. So he does move along the ground and do all the sorts of, you know, Star Convoy things that you'd want him to do. But
that's what she said.
Star Convoy, and now I'm the biggest Japanese Transformers fan on the show now. These are all titles that can be bought, gentlemen. You just gotta want it. So there you go.
How many Star Sabers you got anyway?
Oh, I've got the G1. I've got the Masterpiece. Yeah. Okay. I've got some kind of e-hobby exclusive. That's the Nemesis one. It's a black one.
It doesn't count.
I've got a Kabaya kit one.
Okay.
And then I've got the HasLab one. It's coming in.
The HasLab one yet.
Yet, but it's paid for.
But he's paid for.
So that counts, huh?
It's like I've got 2 Unicrons, but only one here. Yeah. So I've got a lot of Star Sabers. Yeah.
All right.
So I still have some stuff left over, so I guess next week or the week after, whenever we're back live. So, yeah.
Well, glad I could help you out and burn through a lot of stuff for you.
Yes, now I gotta spend some time and figure out where the hell I'm putting this shit.
Longest trip to the store ever.
It was a good one.
It was
a good
one. It was.
All right, well, that's it for trips to the store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
We're back from our trips to the store, and that will do it for this episode of Transmissions. Mike, thanks again for joining us this week. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find some of your awesome stuff online, including the amazing and intriguing Empire of Rust.
Well, thanks for having me on. I always love coming by and talking with you guys, especially after that epic trips to the store segment. So Empire of Rust is, of course, the big thing that I always want everyone to listen to. Please take a listen to Empire Rust. We just released episode 65, and it is a pretty amazing episode. So, other than Empire of Rust, you can find some toy photography and like 3D work that I've done on my Instagram and on Facebook. And yeah, so it's at Minervion, and that's MINERVION if you are interested in any kind of photography stuff. But yeah, that's what I got.
All right, and we end the show by giving a shout-out to our Masterpiece Donatrons. So thank you again to John4X11good, Dinobot Maximize, DemonTech82, and Septimus Solvane. You guys are awesome. Thank you for continuing to support us at our highest level, which is why you get a shout-out in every episode. And you can also buy some merchandise from our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you want to get some shirts, some masks, other merchandise with transmissions on it, you can go there. Also, if you want anything from TeePublic, use our link, and that helps out the show. So, you know, last minute, last call for Christmas gifts, maybe? Well, probably too late, but yeah, take a look. And that's it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool Transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.